In this episode of Cracking Copy, we're going to be discussing the importance of the brief. The brief being all the information that you need to impart to a copywriter so that they can nail your copy first time. I'm Minnie, I'm co-host of the Cracking Copy podcast, and my guest this week is Cindy Herriman-Stowers, a marketing pro with over two decades of experience. So, whether you are the person who is giving the brief, perhaps you're a copywriter taking the brief, or if you're somebody who's looking to write your own copy, we're looking at what makes a great brief and also the nitty-gritty of pre-writing preparation. Cracking Copy is a marketing and copywriting podcast where we lift the lid on writing for business and read between the lines of effective copy.
This is a podcast for creative entrepreneurs and savvy business owners like you who understand the value that great copy can bring to their bottom line.
We dive into a different aspect of writing for business in each episode, debunk the myths about how we should write, and explore the ways that writing can be fun, conversational, and creative, while also being high impact for serious results.
So listen, laugh, and learn with us, Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride, as we share our words and wisdom in each snack-sized episode. Expect some light bulb moments, interesting guests, and practical takeaways as we crack the copy code together.
Well, welcome to the Cracking Copy podcast, Cindy. Thank you so much for coming along.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I think we'll just start off, if that's okay. Obviously, I've done the preamble about this episode, but perhaps you could tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yes, certainly. Well, as you said, I do have rather large number of years experience in the marketing industry and the sort of dynamic and ever-evolving world of creatives. And during that time, I've worked with small and medium-sized companies across a range of industries, from retail and education, transport and hospitality and health. But I've also got about 10 years experience working in a large creative agency. So I come from both sides. And in terms of what I do, I suppose, irrespective of my job title, whether that's been director of marketing or account manager or project manager, I really focus on a client's needs. So I'm committed to delivering really great outcomes for them, for their campaign or for their project, and ensuring that we sort of exceed their expectations and really develop that relationship. And I suppose that's what I'm most proud of when I work with people. And I really enjoy the relationship building. And that's what's worked for me.
Yeah. So how we met, just so that our listeners kind of know, is that actually Cindy briefed me for a website job. And actually, I remember the brief was about 2 hours, wasn't it? And but we covered everything. And I'll never forget when I gave my first draft and you said, you've nailed it. And okay, that doesn't always happen, but it's so nice when it does happen. And I think part of that was that you and I were very open in our conversation. We got the most out of each other. You gave me so much information, and hopefully I asked the right questions. So I think, you know, that's really important. And obviously you have a lot of experience of taking briefs, giving briefs.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember that conversation. And yes, I mean, apologies, it was 2 hours. I don't think, you know, it shouldn't probably take that long. But the outcome was amazing because, yes, you did nail it in that first draft. And other than some minor tweaks and things that evolve along the way, it was pretty much perfect, which is fantastic. And I always think the more time and effort that you put in right at the very beginning of whether it's an individual asset that you want or a huge campaign, whether your budget is £500 or £500,000, if you start right and you lay the good foundations, it's definitely going to pay dividends in the end.
Yeah. So whether you're briefing, you're a client briefing a copywriter, or you are the copywriter, or it might be that you're somebody who's going to write their own copy, because I know some of our listeners do write their own copy, and that's why they listen to our podcast, because of the tips. Then it's all about what you need what you need in order to get the copyright. Yeah. And obviously, depending on what you're doing, but you know, you've got to have a really big think about all of the information, and there is a lot. I mean, when you know, there's so much to think about, and it's not just how long it's going to be and what it's going to be. You know, is it going to be a website and how many pages on the website? There's so much more, and I think we'll want to sort of cover that a bit today, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. And I also find sometimes a client perhaps will come to you and say they want something in particular, a particular asset, and even before you start thinking about what that asset is, I always ask the question, why? What's made you decide that that is the right asset for you to achieve the objective or to address the pain point that the client is sort of experiencing? Because with some experience, you might understand, or if you know more about the business, you might understand that actually, if you chose a different output, so they said they wanted a brochure, but actually an email would work better for them and have better outcomes. Right at the very beginning, when you're asking all those important questions, you're actually going to ensure that you're creating the right asset for the pain point or for the objective. And so you're not wasting time writing copy for something. Your copy could be great, and the outcome in terms of the asset that's created is great, but if it's not doing the job, i.e. the job of solving whatever the pain point is, it sort of then becomes irrelevant. And by asking those questions right at the very beginning, when you're doing that deep dive and just checking, are we writing copy for the right asset here? Is it going to solve the problem? Is the output going to support the client's objectives?
So interestingly, so all of that should have come out in a marketing plan rather than the brief.
Most definitely. And one thing I would say is if you are taking the brief from a client and you are lucky enough to have worked with your client before, you've been involved and you understand their business objectives, you know that their marketing strategy is aligned with their business objectives, you understand the audience demographics, you know the customer journey, you know exactly where that asset or brochure or email or social media campaign is going to sit in the journey, then that's fine. You can get stuck straight in with, you know, the brief for that asset. But if you don't know any of that, or if it's your own business and you're right at the very beginning, there are some really important things to do first before you decide, I need a brochure to sell my products, or I need a email to go out to an email client list. I think it's important to have a really good understanding of either who you are, what your objectives are, what your USP, you know, a really good marketing plan up front if you yourself are the client, but and you're writing copy for yourself. But if you're being briefed by a client, don't be afraid to ask for more detail and to really sit down and have a really great, you know, planning or strategy meeting first, because everybody wins. The client gets a better outcome. You are successful in what you want to achieve for them. And that's how you're building relationships.
Yeah. So actually what we're saying is really for the brief, if you haven't nailed your own marketing plan and you don't know what you're doing, you can't really brief somebody.
Yeah.
So, but also the information that is in the marketing plan, you have got to also impart that to the person who is writing your copy. Because if I don't know, let's say you're briefing me and I don't know what your unique selling point is, I don't know who your customers are. So actually, part of that beginning part of the brief is an overview really of the marketing plan, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. Starting, you know, even if it's your own business, why did you set up the business? What was it that drove you? What is it that drives you to run this business? You know, if you think about, and I didn't make this up myself, I should add, but I read a post that said, you know, Nike doesn't sell shoes. They sell a lifestyle. Disney don't sell movies. They sell dreams. Apple doesn't really sell computers or phones. They sell status. And Amazon doesn't sell products. They sell convenience. So I think really understanding why you set up your business, if you're writing copy for yourself, and understanding who you are, what your unique selling point is, why people should buy from you if it's a product, or work with you if it's a service, really having that nailed right at the very beginning, that will really, really help. Well, it will help you sort of with your own strategy and your own business objectives, but it will certainly help anybody that you're having to brief in, a copywriter, a designer, a web developer.
Yeah. So I think if you haven't done that work, you need to go away and then you need to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure within your show, you've got some of those already listed where you've spoken to people who can help yes. with that as well. So exactly. Go back and listen to previous episodes.
Exactly. And then on my socials, I actually did produce a marketing plan template, which actually maybe I should put a link to that.
Yeah.
The free marketing plan template. So I can put that in the show notes as well. But obviously this is about the brief. And obviously we've said that this is, you know, that sort of marketing strategy and plan is something that you do need to think about. And if you have got a new copywriter, you need to tell them all of that information. So you've got to know yourself, as you say, and your products and services. And things like the elevator pitch, which you would have in your marketing plan, is actually, so that's like a snapshot. If you're in an elevator and I was chatting to you, I can in very short sentence tell you what it is that I do. And who it benefits. So those kind of things are really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's more of the understanding of what the actual objective is of this piece, shall we say, that's being written. Because if you're thinking about you want a brochure, so there's copy going to be written for a brochure, thinking about what you're actually going to do with that brochure once it's been printed. I mean, obviously there are things associated with even getting something printed. If it's going to be a digital brochure or a printed brochure, how many pages, whether it's landscape or portrait, whether if you are having it printed, the particular paper stock, what size is it, A6, A5, A4, how many you want printed. And actually, even giving that information to a copywriter is actually really helpful, because they've got the whole story. So they've got the story of what's happening. You've thought, it shows that you've actually thought about everything. And then once you've got your product actually printed, what are you going to do with it? How you're going to get it out to your audience, whether that's digitally or print. So when we talk about briefing a copywriter, yes, you're going to brief a copywriter on the words and the messaging, but I think it's really helpful for a copywriter to know the whole story. And you know, if we go back to our briefing, when I gave you the whole story, that enabled you to come up with the perfect copy first time.
Yeah. And I'm actually looking back just briefly about what you were saying about the asset itself. It's also what purpose it's going to have, isn't it? Because why are you producing the brochure? Well, I want to post it to, I don't know, however many, up to my mailing list, and I want to sell off it. You've got that as well. So you've then got to think about, if is it for selling? Is it just like a coffee table book?
And yeah.
You know, or is it like what is it that you want to do with it, as well as what it's going to look like? I mean, obviously, from my point of view, I want to know what size it is and everything because of the word count and how it's going to be. But then that then would bring us very neatly to, this happens to me a lot, is that they have a design and they want the copy to fit.
To fit. And I mean, yes, that happens. But ideally, right at the very beginning, you'd get all the stakeholders involved. So you wouldn't have a design. You might have your brand guidelines, definitely. And even a small business, if you are just one person and it's your business, I would still think about your brand. So presumably you'll have a logo and you'll have some colors associated with that. You'll have a typeface, so a font, and you'll have something that, probably two fonts that you would work with either on your website or on your socials. You'll have a style of imagery that you would want. So you could have your brand guidelines could consist of one page, literally one page. I mean, I work with clients whose brand guidelines are 150 pages because yes. They're bigger clients, they're global clients. And so from that perspective, they're being worked on by different countries, different agencies. So it's a very strict policy document, shall we say, and this is what you follow. But if it's just you or you and your company is small, that doesn't matter. Brand guidelines just give some direction for people who work with you when they're creating copy or design. And what I would say is in that briefing call, so if I am being briefed by a client, in an ideal world, I would have everybody that I'm going to be working with. So as, let's say, an account manager, I would have my copywriter with me. I would have my designer with me. And if it was going to be a website, I would have my website developer. So there would be four of us on the call taking the brief from the client, because we each bring something to the party, shall we say, in terms of the questions that we're asking and the importance of things. So you don't then come a cropper where, the designer has received the brand guidelines and only has enough copy space for 300 words, and you've been asked to write a long form piece of 1500 words, so having everybody right at the very beginning so that each specialism can ask their pertinent questions, tone, formal, informal, informative, educational, explainer, engaging, salesy, all of those things in terms of copy, and then design, how much freedom you have. White space, how much white space does a client like? We always say we like a lot of white space with things.
That's a general thumb, isn't it? People,
yes,
readers of a website do not want blocks and blocks of copy.
No, not at all. Yeah, if in doubt, take it out. just keep it succinct and that's the copywriter's job. And if you're writing copy yourself, when you're looking at something, and I find social media posts are the main things, because there is so much out there and we're sort of doom scrolling. So having copy that is engaging, eye-catching, short, invariably for social, that's really going to make an impact, coupled with a design that will only come about if you've had good conversation beforehand, where copywriters and designers can work together. Because if there is more budget and you're able to have a designer work with your copywriter to develop the story and the campaign, you can have some glorious outcomes. You really can, where copy and design work together. But with the advent of Canva and things like that, you can, if you are working for yourself, you're writing your own copy, you can see templates within Canva that you can see the length of headlines to give you an idea of how long your headline should be. So there are lots of guides, and obviously listening to your podcast as well will give you guidance on those types of things.
They do. And it's interesting that what you're saying about working together. And I think for me, that happens quite rarely. I mean, most of the time I get a call, you know, can you write the copy for our website? It's already done. But what hasn't been thought about necessarily, as you're saying, is the prep. So, you know, where's the call to action on the, you know, the above the fold on particularly the website they'll have designed first.
And yes.
It's quite frustrating. And then the web designer will say to me, well, there's too much copy, so I've cut some out. And you're thinking, No. Yes. Give it back to me. But also then you're thinking, well, you've only cut it because of the design. And then that's really difficult because then you're dealing with the designer and then.
Yes.
And then, you know, you're only doing the brief that you've been given and they're probably doing the brief they've been given, but we've been working completely separately.
Yeah.
That's quite hard. I do think that's quite hard. And then you're like, well, please don't, you know, that bit's really important. So we need to, don't just cut it what you think is not important.
Yes. Yeah. And ask to have the conversation. It's always lovely being asked to do work. So, you know, if someone's asking you for work, yes, that's fabulous. I'd love to help you with that so that we get the best outcome possible. I think it'd be great to sit down and have a chat with the designer. And at that point, even if the designer or web developer has created it, it's still a framework. If there's nothing in it yet, it's still a framework, and frameworks can be changed and modified. So again, having that conversation, laying that foundation right at the very beginning, it saves so much time for everybody and it saves money. I mean, it really is a great cost-cutting exercise to put that extra hour, and that's really all it's going to take. If it takes an hour to do a normal brief, and by the person briefing taking the time beforehand to have that knowledge, obviously if you don't have any of that knowledge, it's going to take longer than an hour. But business objectives and marketing strategy and USP and knowing who your competitors are and understanding your demographic and your customer journey, you need that for everything anyway. So it's an exercise that will support your whole business. And if you've got that in place, just spending the little bit of extra time and having those calls, I think is really, really important. And if you're working then, I think perhaps with maybe a slightly larger company, I think they're impressed that you've even thought about the project as a whole and not just as the copy that you're writing. I think that they understand that you want to support them in getting a really great outcome and that you understand the dynamic between copy and design and user experience. And writing copy for a website is very different to writing copy for socials, is different to an email. And so if it's a campaign, you know, it might include all of those things. You might be right at the very beginning of the sort of journey. And you're telling the same story, but you're telling it in a slightly different tone, shall we say.
Now, one of the things I would like to touch on, actually, is, for example, particularly with websites. Now, Ella and I are going to be doing a website series coming up where we're going to talk about writing your website. So very useful autumn series coming up. And obviously, one of the things with websites is SEO. And I think that's a very interesting one, because I'm just interested to know, when you are dealing with clients, do they have like a list of their keywords? Because quite a lot of the time when I'm doing a website, I will research the keywords myself. So I do my own SEO, like copy words research. But I tell you what, how brilliant it would be if I was given a list.
Yes. I think it depends on the size of the company. So that's what I would start with saying. Because I think if you have an online business and you're selling a product, or you're a beauty therapist or a hairdresser, or you're selling a service, your job actually is to do that job. So understanding a whole nother person's job, like SEO or web development or any of those things, or marketing, that's quite a big ask, I think. So I think with smaller companies or individual owners, I generally don't get a list of keywords. And so I would do that research myself. But within, say, a larger agency, there would be somebody responsible for finding those. So we would book time with an SEO specialist and they would do that with the client.
Yeah, but obviously, if you're a small business, you need to do your own research.
And that's you need to do your own research. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to dwell on that now and how you do it, because we're going to be talking about that in our series, our website series. But I just thought it was interesting to see from your perspective whether you were ever given them, because I'm starting from scratch, and that's fine. But again, that's quite, you know, it's a question you can ask in the brief. Is that,
yeah,
you know, experience of what keywords or long keywords have been working for you or not, and they might not even know how you know whether they're working or not. So
yeah, because obviously that's your starting point, because that's going to impact your copy, and obviously you're not going to want to keyword stuff, but your copy, but you've got to still have some of those words present, because that's what people are searching for.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so from your perspective, what would your, so I am, whether I'm a copywriter or whether I'm somebody giving a brief or if I'm going to be doing my own copy. So from your experience, what are your top tips, do you think, for a successful brief?
Top tips. So I would say define your clear objectives. What's the primary goal of what you're trying to achieve? So whether it's an individual asset or a campaign, what are you trying to achieve? Is it brand awareness? Is it lead generation? Are you trying to sell more products or sell your services? I think the objective should be crystal clear and obviously aligned with your broader business goals, but you yourself should really know what you're trying to achieve. So that would be my starting point. And then, so that would be, if you have your briefing document, that would be your overview, really. This is what we're trying to achieve. And then I would include something about your audience. So really understand who your target audience is, understand the demographics and their behaviors. And that will help copywriters sort of distill the messages in the correct way. It also helps a design team understand if design is being involved as well. But really think about who's going to read this, because that will impact the tone, the formality or informality of the language. And then if you had to say one core message, just what are you trying to say? It needs to be concise and it needs to be compelling. And it sort of sets an anchor for the rest of the text. So if someone reads the copy and they only walk away with one thing, what should that be? Really understand what that should be. Mentioned the tone. I think tone obviously relates to the type of output that you want as well. So it needs to be aligned to the output. So if it's a brochure, if it's social, if it's a website, if it's long copy, short copy. So really understanding the tone. And then, I know it sounds crazy, but any deadlines, understanding when this needs to be delivered by, what the expectations are for drafts. Does a client want to keep going at this copy forever and a day? Because some people like to refine and refine and refine and refine, and others will read something once and go, oh yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's pretty much what I want, if you have nailed it, obviously. So I think, and that links into quoting really, because if you are quoting, you kind of want an endpoint. So in the brief, it should say, this also will include X amount of rounds of amends. So just understanding when that end date is. And then when you've got all this information, which would also include your brand guidelines, so your you know, the the colours, the fonts that you can use, your style, your disclaimers, any mandatories, any legals, all of those things that need to be included. I think what you want to step back then and think about is, what do you want people to think when they read this copy? So it would be good to think about that. So let's say, if I may say, for the job that we worked together on, which was Rogate Pumpkin Patch, what do we want people to think when they read it? Well, we want people to think, this is fabulous. That's what we want them to think. Yeah. And then how do you want people to feel? When they read this, how do you want them to feel? And we wanted them to feel excited. And with the language that you used, people were very excited. And then the important one, well, what do you want them to do? They've read it, now what? Well, we want them to buy tickets.
Yeah.
So there has to be a call to action. So I would say those pointers that I've been through, but really thinking at the end, can you articulate what you want people to think, feel, and do after they've read the copy?
But there's so much, as we have discussed, that goes into all of that. I mean, crazy amounts. So I think we are going to do a checklist that you can download in the show notes, and also look out for the series that Ella and I are doing on writing your website, which we will start this autumn. And also, if people want to get hold of you, Cindy, with your experience, we're going to put link to Cindy also in the notes. But is there anything that before we wrap up that you would like to add? Or do you think, I think we've covered a lot in this kind of...
Yeah, I think it should be an exciting process though. I think it's the most important document right at the very start. It lays the foundation, but it's really about storytelling. So we're going to be telling a story with this brief, and we're going to be building, you're sort of like the brief, it's the foundation, but what goes into the brief are the bricks for the house that you're building. And I think it should be an exciting time, and it might change, the scope can change, but I would see it as an enjoyable part of the process.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I certainly, that's, you know, I really enjoy the brief. I love it. So yeah, maybe I've been lucky. Quite lucky. Lovely. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Cracking Copy podcast with Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride.
Don't miss out on future episodes by making sure you hit subscribe down below to keep up with all our podcasts.
And more details and resources are in our show notes.
So we'll see you next time.